from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. ...150 delegates to attend International Conference on Cross-Cultural Religious Literacy in Jakarta. Minister Agus Harimurti vows faster land certificate processing. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Ministry and the Lemina Institute will hold an international conference on cross-cultural religious literacy in Jakarta on July the 10th and 11th. In a pre-event press conference in Jakarta on Friday, Program Manager of the Lemina Institute, Daniel Adipranata, conveyed that this conference is a continuation of the cross-cultural religious literacy program which has been going on since 2021.
Jadi konferensi ini telah mendaftar kurang lebih 150 orang yang akan
So approximately 150 people have registered the conference. They will be on site. 40 people are from foreign delegations, both from foreign government agencies and also from foreign NGOs who have registered and attended on site. But in addition, we are also exposing that this conference will also be hybrid. As of today, there are probably 1,000 people who have registered. The conference, themed Multi-Faith Collaboration in an Inclusive Society, is meant to strengthen collaboration among religious believers in addressing issues of common concern, especially in terms of religious tolerance. There will be 5 panels from various elements at home and abroad, including former Indonesian Foreign Minister Alwi Shihab, ASEAN Secretary General Kau Him Kun, and Director of the Royal Jordanian Institute for Interfaith Studies, Rene Hattar. Indonesian Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Special Planning, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, has assured that the transformation of public services for land certificate processing is being pursued through digitalization and transparency. During a visit to Gresik, East Java on Friday, he conveyed that his commitment to accelerate the land administration process by utilizing digital technology was part of the government's agenda, which was emphasized by President Joko Widodo as well. He said the president asked the ministry to pursue digital transformation in line with efforts to modernize the government. Indonesia and Japan are poised to sign the protocol amending the Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement in September this year, following 5 years of negotiations. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade, Jerry Sambuaga, disclosed it in a statement on Friday. He remarked that Indonesia and Japan are currently in the legal scrubbing stage and formulating the final draft of the protocol aimed at bringing changes to several chapters of the agreement. The targeted chapters include trade in goods, trade in services, electronic commerce, movement of natural persons, cooperation, intellectual property, and Government Procurement. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said Friday that Indonesia's plan to impose import duties of up to 200% on textile products is not targeted against specific countries like China. The decision to protect the domestic industry in keeping with the existing regulatory provisions and applicable international trade norms was made during a cabinet meeting chaired by President Joko Widodo on June the 25th. Minister Luhut explained that one step taken so far is the extension of safeguard tariffs already imposed on several textile products. These tariffs apply to all imported goods, regardless of their origin. G7 leaders in a statement at the end of their talks in Italy said Friday the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency must be allowed to work unhindered in war-torn Gaza. As reported by ArabNews.com, the group of seven nations agree that it is critical that UNRWA and other UN organizations and agencies' distribution networks be fully able to deliver aid to those who need it most, fulfilling their mandate effectively. They called for all parties to facilitate rapid and unimpeded passage of humanitarian relief for civilians in need in Gaza, particularly women and children. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban has met Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow in a visit that has been heavily criticized by European Union leaders and Ukraine's government. As reported by BBC.com, Friday's meeting was part of what Prime Minister Orban called a peace mission, coming 3 days after a visit to Kyiv, where he met Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. Hungary has just taken over the presidency of the Council of the European Union, but European Union leaders have stressed that Orban is not acting on behalf of the bloc. Prime Minister Orban is European Union only head of government to have kept close ties to the Kremlin following its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Singapore's foreign ministry on Friday, July the 5th, stated that Singapore's Prime Minister Lawrence Wong congratulated Keir Starmer on his appointment as Britain's new Prime Minister. As quoted by CNA.com, Starmer's centre-left Labour Party swept to power after winning the general election on Friday, ending 14 years of right-wing conservative rule by Rishi Sunak's party. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Kutai Kartanegara, East Kalimantan. The Regional Technical Implementation Unit of the Mula Warman Museum, East Kalimantan Education and Culture Service, will hold an exhibition of traditional Indonesian musical instruments in Tenggarong, Kutai Kartanegara Regency from July the 20th until 26th. Head of the unit, Sugiono Ideal, in Kutai Kartanegara Tuesday said that the exhibition will display the richness of Indonesian culture through the strains of ethnic music inherited from the ancestors. According to him, this is a great opportunity for East Kalimantan to promote local culture and tourism, as well as being a meeting place for museum curators from all over Indonesia. Sugiono Ideal said this exhibition will not only be a place to showcase musical instruments, but will also be filled with various other activities such as workshops, music creation competitions, and traditional sports expeditions. The next news comes from Surabaya, East Jawa. A total of 330 bridal couples took part in the mass wedding Isbat Grand Reception held by the Surabaya City Government last Tuesday afternoon. Hundreds of bridal couples, who most of them wear kebaya suits with the dominant colors being white, black, and gold. Head of the Surabaya City Population and Civil Registration Service, Eddie Cristianto, said that it was a series of celebration for the brides and grooms. He stated that the number of bridal couples taking part in this year's event had increased from 2023. Every participant had received a certificate from the religious court and legally as husband and wife, based on the marriage law. The latest news comes from Waro, Jambi, Jambi Province. The Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology is collaborating with a number of parties to strengthen the preservation of Jambi's wealth and cultural heritage in the form of food as one of the efforts to revitalize the Muaro Jambi National Cultural Heritage Area. The Director General Culture of the Ministry of Education and Culture said in an official statement on Tuesday, it has collaborated with Javara and food artists to enrich the historical and cultural values preserved for centuries through the gastronomic heritage of the area around the Muaro Jambi Temple, which more than 1,300 years old. Head of the Jambi Region 5 Cultural Preservation Center, Agus Widiatmoko, said that the revitalization of the area does not only focus on physical restoration of temples, but also maintains and enriches local culture. According to him, Jambi has a wealth of food crops, so the people no longer import food. This, he said, was makes Jambi's culinary delights able to be utilized optimally both in the form of daily food, medicines, and even drinks. The gastronomic wealth, he said, is a significant cultural and historical heritage apart from natural wealth in the form of swamps, mountains, and natural landscape. Agus Widiatmoko hopes that this initiative can preserve cultural heritage while offering interesting experiences for visitors. That was news from across Indonesia.
We begin today in history on July 6, 1964, about Malawi's independence from England. The Republic of Malawi is a country located in southeastern Africa. Malawi is bordered by Tanzania to the north, Zambia to the northwest, and Mozambique to the east, south, and west. Lake Malawi lies along the eastern border of Malawi, covering one-fifth of the country. 2 years later, on July 6, 1966, Malawi became a Republican country. Quoting from dpr.go.id, Malawi has established diplomacy with Indonesia since September 29, 2014. Let's move on to the incident in 2013 when Boeing 777 crashed into a seawall. A Boeing 777 airplane, Asiana Airlines flight, fell during a landing at San Francisco International Airport on July 6, 2013. The airplane, which came from Seoul, South Korea, broke into pieces and immediately caught fire. This crash left 2 people dead and more than 180 people injured. Quoting from Tempo.co, the airplane carried 292 passengers on board. We end today in history with July 6 marking World Zoonosis Day. World Zoonosis Day is commemorated to honor Louis Pasteur, the scientist who successfully performed the first rabies vaccine in France. This vaccination was received by a child bitten by a rabies virus-infected dog on July 6, 1885. World Zoonosis Day is also commemorated to educate people about zoonosis, a disease transmitted from infected animals to humans. According to brain.go.id, zoonosis is an infectious disease that can jump from animals to humans. The zoonotic pathogen can be in the form of bacteria, viruses, or parasites that can be spread among humans through direct contact with food, water, or the environment. According to WHO, at least 6 out of 10 contagious diseases transmitted these days are zoonosis. Besides, 3 out of 4 new infectious diseases in humans are coming from animals. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Mungkin aku bisa bercinta dengan kamu, kendati kata-katamu selalu menusuk jantung, melukaiku. Mungkin ku mau memaafkanmu kembali demi cinta yang ada di hatiku, meloloskanmu dari kata pisah. Mungkin sang fajar dan sayap-sayap burung patah menyaksikan kita berseteru, selalu tak pernah damai. Mungkin cintaku terlalu kuat dan menutupi jiwa yang dendam akan kerasmu, sehingga kita bersama. Maafkanmu kembali demi cinta yang ada di hatiku, meloloskanmu dari kata pisah. Mungkin sang fajar dan sayap-sayap burung patah menyaksikan kita berseteru, selalu tak pernah damai. Mungkin cintaku terlalu kuat dan menutupi jiwa yang dendam akan kerasmu, sehingga kita bersama. Mungkin sang fajar dan sayap-sayap burung patah menyaksikan kita berseteru, selalu tak pernah damai. Mungkin cintaku terlalu kuat dan menutupi jiwa yang dendam akan kerasmu, sehingga kita bersama.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade encourages increased Indonesia-Japan trade. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga believes that bilateral trade relations between Indonesia and Japan can still be improved even though currently they are going very well. In a statement from the Indonesian Ministry of Trade received on Friday, July the 5th, Jerry Sambuaga, when meeting the Deputy General Manager of Japan Chamber of Commerce and Industry Tetsuya Matsuoka in Tokyo, Japan last Tuesday, explained that this improvement could be made through new breakthroughs in utilizing the Indonesia-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement, EJPA. The progress of negotiation on the agreement amendment protocol is currently in the legal scrubbing and finalization of the draft text. Changes and improvement include the trade in goods, trade in services, electronic commerce, movement of natural persons, cooperation, intellectual property chapters, and government procurements. He explained the amendment protocol is targeted to be completed in the second week of July, followed by an internal government administrative process. Both countries are targeting the signing by the Minister of Trade of the Republic of Indonesia and the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Japan to be carried out in September 2024. Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga revealed the bilateral agreement was the first bilateral agreement that Indonesia had. EJPA was signed on August 20, 2007 in Jakarta, then on July 1, 2008, it entered into force. This proves Japan is an important trading partner and investment for Indonesia. He also appreciated the total trade values between Indonesia and Japan in 2023, which will reach $37.3 billion. Jerry Sambuaga added, currently, the Indonesian government is encouraging foreign investment into the renewable energy sector as part of its commitment to achieving net zero emissions by 2060 or earlier. According to him, Indonesia and Japan must further strengthen cooperation and collaboration to overcome the global crisis. He said opportunities for cooperation in the renewable energy sector are needed in the energy sector in Japan. Furthermore, he said, Indonesia always participates in the biggest food and beverage promotions in Japan, Foodex Japan. In 2024, Indonesia's participation succeeded in recording trade transaction of $10.6 billion. On that occasion, the Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade also invited the Japan Chamber of Commerce and Industry and members to attend at the 39th Trade Expo Indonesia, which is scheduled for October 9th to 12th, 2024. That was My Indonesia Today.
Separuh langkahku saat ini berjalan tanpa terhenti. Hidupku bagaikan keringnya dunia, tandus tak ada cinta. Hatiku mencari cinta ini sampai kutemukan yang sejati. Walau sampai letihku akan menjadinya seorang yang ku cinta.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Thank you.
Listener, Putri Ngelirip Waterfall, also known as Lirip Waterfall, is one of the most popular tourism destination in Tuban Regency. It's Java. It is located in Jogjagan Hamlet, Mulyoagung Village, Singgahan, Sub-District, Tuban Regency, East Java. By traveling about 30 km to the southwest of Tuban City, by motor vehicle, visitors will reach Putri Lirip Waterfall. This destination serves as a cool atmosphere that help you refresh your mind, and it's suitable for you to enjoy a vacation. Besides its beautiful scenery, Putri Lirip Waterfall also has natural and lush green surrounding combined with shady trees around the cliff. Lirip Waterfall soaring to 29 meters, spanning 25 meters at its widest point and covering a basin of 30 meters, has its charm for visitors. Although you'll feel at peace, the tall green trees and a variety of flora and fauna living in the area make the waterfall atmosphere more integrated with nature. In addition, visitors will also feel like they receive energy from the cool and fresh ambience surrounding the waterfall. Not only does Lirip Waterfall offer a wonderful view, but it also has a natural pool at the bottom. This pool allows visitors to bathe or swim while enjoying the beauty of nature. Moreover, the waterfall is also an ideal place for adventure activities and nature exploration. Visitors are able to trek through the laid out trails to reach the waterfall. The waterfall looks Tosca green in the dry season. The clear color of the water will make visitors want to go into the water. Although in the rainy season, the water is browned, it does not reduce the exoticism of Putri Lirip Waterfall. If the water is clear in the rainy season, rainbow will usually appear around 3 p.m., even when the water is flowing or in a brownish color. Listener, Lirip Waterfall has decent facilities such as a large parking lot gazebos, culinary stalls, and a praying room as well. The entrance ticket for Putri Lirip Waterfall costs 8,000 rupiah for adult and 3,000 rupiah for children. To make your vacation even more enjoyable, find the best time to visit. Coming during the dry season is preferable since the water is Tosca green. On sunny day, you can get the best views and atmosphere. One less important thing to remember, always be careful and keep clean. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder.
Dalam cahayamu yang menembus ruh.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, the existence of Indonesian restaurants in Saudi Arabia is really needed by the Indonesian people, especially those carrying out the Hajj or Umrah pilgrimage. It's because Mecca and Medina are home to more than 200,000 pilgrims from Indonesia during the Hajj season. On average, pilgrims stay for 40 days to do various rituals for Hajj pilgrimage. At times like this, Medina Asian restaurant owned by Abah Umar cures the congregation's longing for Indonesian food. The Indonesian restaurant started opening in 2015 when Abah Umar left for Arabia as an Indonesian migrant worker. From his hard work, he collected capital little by little until finally he succeeded in opening Media Asian restaurant at the foot of Jabal Uhud. The restaurant is famous not only among settlers, even many Indonesian officials and celebrities visited during the Hajj pilgrimage. Slowly but sure, Medina Asian restaurant continues to grow. Until now, Abah Umar has opened 14 restaurant branches by employing 23 staff from Indonesia and Bangladesh. Listener, the head chef and owner of Medina Asian restaurant is an Indonesian citizen named Muhammad Sarwoni, known as Abah Umar. According to him, every day this restaurant serves at least 300 to 400 customers and take around 1 quintal of rice per day, especially during the Hajj season. Abah Umar, who is an alumnus of the Al Amin Kediri Islamic Boarding School, said he tried to maintain the quality of his food and ensures authentic taste by using spices imported directly from Indonesia, including fresh cayenne devil for meatballs. This restaurant is located at the foot of Mount Uhud. It's only a 3-minute walk from the Nabawi Mosque. This restaurant makes it an alternative choice for Hajj pilgrims who miss Indonesian food while performing the Hajj or Umrah. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Jangan Hianati Aku or Don't Betray Me by Bagus Dewantoro featuring JKT Progressive. The song, made and popularized by Malaysian singer Azlan and the Typewriter, was released in 2019. The song is also covered by Indonesian singers. The song is about a guy's plea to his lover for not betraying him. Overall, this song portrays true love and the desire for a long-lasting and resilient relationship, because betrayal can destroy love. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Jangan Hianati Aku by Bagus Dewantoro featuring JKT Progressive.
Sekira kau larut dalam hati, aku menanti bayangmu ini. Andai engkau nyata dalam mimpi, ku rasa resah bila kau tiada, hadirmu mengubah sejuta rasa pedih. Yang memilih aku adalah dirimu. Jika benar itu jangan hianati, berjanji padaku, percaya selalu. Biarkan semua mereka berkata, asal jangan pernah engkau hianati, berjanji padaku, percaya selalu. Si cahaya kamarmu, aku pun juga seperti rembulan menemani di saat malammu. Ku rasa resah bila tiada, hadirmu mengubah sejuta rasa
Voice of Indonesia.
atas rasa nyaman yang menawan. Ku terhanyut semakin larut, ingin ku jiwa menjadi sebuah irama yang berawan senada bawah. Sadarku bergemuruh bawah, sadarku memilahi
Voice of Indonesia.
Kisah baru tanpa diriku. bersama bayanganku. Seandainya kau tahu, aku kan selalu cinta. Jangan kau lupakan kenangan kita selama ini. Jalani hidupmu sendiri, melukai kenangan yang telah kita lalui. Kau akan terbang jauh menembus awan, memulai kisah baru tanpa diriku. Tahu ku tak ingin kau pergi, meninggalkanku sendiri bersama bayanganku. Seandainya kau tahu, aku kan selalu cinta.
Walau perih, walau perih.